This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. A powerful tool in preventing the spread of COVID-19 is wearing a face covering, according to health officials across the country. But for those in our community who are hard of hearing or deaf, cloth masks create more than just a barrier to the spread of the disease. They are a barrier to communication. So now with schools returning for the fall, many educators are wondering how to safely teach in-person classes with cloth mask when this prevents challenges for some students with disabilities. So joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about alternatives to cloth face coverings are St. Rita's School for the Deaf President Angela Frith. Welcome, Angela.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. And we also have with us Sharonville Family Medicine Dr. Will Sawyer. Dr. Sawyer, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And 513-419-7100 is the number to call if you'd like to join our conversation. So I want to start with you, Angela, because before we dive into this situation pressed by face masks and the difficulty that that might present in communicating with people who are hard of hearing or who are deaf, is throughout this pandemic, all of us have been glued to our computers or our televisions, watching our governors talk about updates, and nearly every governor across the country appears very prominently with an interpreter for the hard of hearing and deaf people. And I'm thinking that I've personally never seen such prominent featuring of that sort of interpretation. And so just from the perspective of folks who need that type of interpretation, what has this moment meant? I mean, of course, we're in a terrible pandemic, but this has probably elevated awareness in a way that's unprecedented.
Absolutely. It definitely has. And, you know, the first time the interpreter for Governor DeWine was on, I had neighbors asking me questions and everything else. They're like, we've never seen that before. And so it was great awareness, especially during the pandemic. And I think it just opened up opportunities for people to understand and learn more about the deaf community and deaf and hard of hearing people and what it takes to communicate with them.
And so as that is taken into consideration, that there are more people with the idea that there are people in our community who don't communicate the way the rest of us do, what type of awareness is that raising as we try to respond to the pandemic with masks? I mean, we're obviously limiting the way that we can communicate with people. For those of us who don't know sign language and are speaking to someone who might rely on reading lips.
Right. So there, thankfully, there are a lot of people out there who have responded in various ways of making masks or face shields and having a clear cover to help maybe with the lip reading and different aspects of the facial expressions that come with American Sign Language if someone communicates that way. It's still challenging because everybody in the deaf community, just like ourselves, we all take in things visually and auditorily different ways. To make sure that we're still getting the message communicated in the right way, it's utilizing the mask and making sure whoever you're communicating with is comfortable using the clear mask versus using a full mask versus using a face shield. Just for an example, last week we had a meeting and we had an interpreter and the interpreter was wearing a mask. So at some point when we were able to social distance safely, the interpreter took off their mask because the facial expressions became so important to communicating what I needed to convey to the rest of the group at that time. So, I mean, the clear covers are definitely helpful. And there are people out there who have come up with some great ideas and have shared their ideas with myself and a lot of other people in the deaf community, too.
And that's Angela Frith, who is the president of the St. Rita's School for the Deaf. We're also joined on the line by Sharonville Family Medicine Dr. Will Sawyer. Dr. Sawyer, I have to say, you have a comment in Ann Saker's reporting in the Cincinnati Inquirer that is very interesting. You are pressing for universal adoption of clear plastic shields that protect the whole face. And this is not necessarily related to communication issues, but you said, quote, if we stopped self-inoculating, this pandemic would be over in 3 weeks. Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. So what we do know is the eyes, nose, and mouth are the only portal of entry to the human body for all respiratory infections, including COVID-19. And what we also know, and I did a study in 2011 of the unconscious behavior of touching the face in physicians' offices, and those who thought they never did it equal to those who admitted to touching their eyes, nose, and mouth. So what's critical is the awareness that we've had for years about self-inoculation by direct contact in schools and other environments. So if we protect all portals of entry, eyes, nose, and mouth, and break that behavior, we have a good chance of stopping this completely because it will lay on surfaces. Now, the nose and mouth mask only covers 2 out of 3, and if you wore it correctly, that would be great. But most adults are not compliant. So, and it also leads to cross-contamination of the mask by your hands when you fidget and adjust it. And next, you could inhale it because the organism is very small and the filters for nose-mouth masks aren't blocking the size of the organism. But the droplets, which are much larger, it will help protect, but they dry out on the mask, and most people don't change the nose and mouth mask frequently enough. So a plastic impermeable shield protecting your eyes, nose, and mouth will do both, protect the individual and others from the droplets and aerosols that you might be spraying out, as well, those who are born can see it.
Dr. Sawyer, we've seen a whole economy around cloth face masks now since we've been told to wear them, a lot of brands that people like, and then upstart creative types on platforms like Etsy are producing masks in mass so that people have access to them. You talk about people not changing them. I have one for every day of the week. I know a lot of people who do that. I mean, it's become part of our lives. But what are you seeing in terms of access to these face shields? I think I've only seen people wear them maybe at like the grocery store, a worker.
Right. There's people have to know where to order. You can certainly order them on Amazon and many other places. From Henry the Hand Foundation, we've been putting them in the school kit for 15 years to have the teachers teach this as what we call the fourth principle of hand awareness. But we went through swine flu and it never took off. And now there's a whole awareness of the self-inoculation or protecting the eyes, nose, and mouth for healthcare workers, which I've been promoting for that for 12 years, for healthcare workers to do it. And finally, we did catch up in March of this year. But it's also for the public to break the unconscious behavior. So they are available. People can order them. Candidly, for the foundation, we've been sending out more than we ever would have imagined. But they are available and hopefully will be much more available to all the public.
And we are talking with Dr. Will Sawyer from Sharonville Family Medicine, as well as Angela Frith, president of St. Rita's School for the Deaf. And we're talking about clear face masks and the way that Dr. Sawyer suggests that they're more effective than cloth face masks in slowing the spread and preventing the spread of COVID-19. And they're also very useful for people who are deaf or hard of hearing when they need to read people's lips when communicating. And Angela, St. Rita's is reopening next Wednesday?
We're doing a staggered start, so our preschoolers start next Wednesday, yes.
Okay, so preschoolers are tough, and I don't want to offend preschoolers or their families, but they're a little germy anyway, aren't they? And so how are you dealing with
every
them?
Every child. We do have, obviously, with CDC guidelines and ODE guidelines, plus the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, because we are under them as well. We are taking every precaution that we can possibly take from the time they walk into the school building, using separate stairwells. Once the preschoolers and our K through 6 get into school, they'll be in the same classroom all day. We'll be able to socially distance their desk. They will all be wearing masks. Preschoolers, it's not required for them to do it, but we are definitely encouraging them to do it. And they'll be in the same room all day except for their recess time or their gym time, that outside time. Other than that, the special teachers like art and religion will be going into the classrooms to see the kids. So we're going to minimize that transition as much as possible, and obviously disinfecting and sanitizing often, about every 2 hours throughout the day as well, too, or when a child finishes with the work, either putting it away somewhere else so they, another child doesn't touch it, or wiping it down and getting it disinfected before it goes back on the shelf.
Okay, and so I understand that at St. Rita's, every teacher will have a mask with a clear window. Is that to suggest a cloth mask with a clear window, or are we talking the full face shield?
We do have face shields here. That was some of our speech and language therapists definitely had requested that. So each child is so unique here at St. Rita's that we're really going to have to look and see what's going to be best for them and their communication mode. With a face shield, we've got to make sure the lighting and there's not a glare, because that can affect, you know, the eyebrows and watching the lips move.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of things that you have to take into consideration. So we're a very individualized program. So when our students get back into session and we're sitting down, we're going to tweak as we need. But all of our staff will be provided with two clear face masks. And then we do have face shields on in the buildings that if they would prefer to do that, they can do that. And there are going to be times that because of phonics and all those other language things, we might have to take our mask off. But every child's going to have a desk shield, so a plexiglass shield on their desk. So there, I know that's not like the end-all, be-all solution, but at least it's going to have a barrier of some sort so the teacher can be on the other side, and we can still provide that the academics that we need to.
And we heard Dr. Sawyer, who I will get back to in just a moment, suggest that there is higher efficacy in slowing the spread of COVID-19 if we're wearing face shields. I know that you've got to be concerned. A lot of public schools are backing off their original plans, whether it was full reopening or hybrid. What is your plan should something unfortunate happen as it relates to possible infections at the school, Angela?
So we have a full-time school nurse on staff, and I've been communicating with my staff throughout the summer, and we'll be doing some trainings on Monday. But if we have to go remote, we do have a remote plan. We do have about 20 students that are going to learn remotely for the first semester, and then we'll revisit again, obviously, and see how things are going in January for those students. And then we also, I have contact, obviously, with the Hamilton County Health Department, just like all the other schools do. And so if for someone does test positive or has symptoms of that, we're obviously going to be in contact with the health department. And then we will work with them on contact tracing and doing the steps we need to take to make sure they're safe. So it's really going to be very individualized. And we are going to be very cautious, obviously, and follow all those procedures and safety precautions that we need to try to eliminate that spread, not contaminate for sure, to eliminate that spread of COVID. And, you know, actually, the washing the hands is going to become more of a routine than it already was. So we're just taking all those precautions and putting extra stuff into place.
All right, Dr. Sawyer, Dr. Will Sawyer of Sharonville Family Medicine. Again, you're a big proponent of these face shields. You're photographed in the Inquirer wearing your face shield with a very charming bow tie as well, I might add.
Thanks.
I mean, this may be a dumb question, and if it is, I hope that you'll cut me some slack. But, you know, we're told that at least cloth masks will contain, as best they can, any of those droplets that might have emerged from our systems. And it seems like, you know, with the face shield that has that clear opening beneath it, what are the challenges with that? I mean, with them emerging from that.
So the droplets it's moisture. And when you have moisture that hits a solid, dry piece, it usually sticks. It doesn't bounce off when it's moist. Usually, and if the shield's the critical part, and we've been working on this for 15 years, the shield has to be a certain length, and it has to be to the chin or 2 inches below, and it has to go around the side of the face and have a bumper on the top. So there's certain metrics that have to be met for what I call a health shield, which is a full face shield, not a partial. And you've seen many different types. And as she had mentioned about the glare, there's different types of plastic that you use, that should be used for clarity. and you need to make sure you're getting what you need for this. There is a science behind it. There's lots of information out there, but and many across the country who are in healthcare have realized they've never thought about these until March of 2020. And for those of us who have, and I applied to do research with back in 2010 to make it a standard piece of equipment for healthcare workers and others, and I've seen it in the practice with patients, the benefit. When worn correctly, which the shield is worn much more correctly, if you will, or compliant than a mask, because it fits better, it's more comfortable, doesn't fog your glasses, you can see facial features and breathe, and you don't have to keep adjusting it. So the cross-contamination piece, as you know, she had mentioned as well, and Chuck Gerba, who's a microbiologist in Arizona, knows about classrooms and says, yes, they are cesspools at some level. I hate to say it that way, but many teachers would agree with that. And so they need to help, you know, specifically washing your hands four times a day, not cross-contaminating, and the teachers need to protect their eyes as well as the students. Their eyes are still exposed when you wear a nose and mouth mask, which is a perfect reservoir for COVID-19 because their receptors in the conjunctiva are vulnerable.
Well, the next time we put together a segment about masks, which I'm sure we will have to do as we continue to battle this pandemic and try to slow this relative increase in cases in our region, we'll talk to you again, Dr. Sawyer, because I don't think we've done a good enough job talking about face shields as they compare to face masks. And so we'll work on that. Dr. Will Sawyer from Sharonville Family Medicine, thank you for being with us. Also, Angela Frith, president of St. Rita School for the Deaf. Good luck on your reopening. Wish the best to you and all the kids there. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Marks.